It's not as famous or as spicy as the jalapeno or the habanero, but the humble Fresno chili is starting to get its due. A new piece in the online food magazine Eater.com extols the virtues of this little pepper that could by digging into its history and searching out those who love its intriguing yet approachable flavor. Ryan Bradley joins us now on Skype. Ryan, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So before we get into the origins of the Fresno chili, tell me, why do you think this particular chili pepper is so unique?
Honestly, it was, I thought it was a delicious pepper. I first sort of was struck by it in a dish that featured the Fresno chili. And it had, you know, in the piece I describe it as similar to a jalapeno, but different. It's a bit more complex. It has a similar spice level. The heat doesn't ever really overwhelm, but it's also sort of smoky and sweet. And it just was interesting to me. And then that kind of sent me off on a quest to find out as much as I could about the Fresno chili. Starting with, was it actually from Fresno, California? Which at first, when I heard it was a Fresno chili, I, like a lot of people I've later found out, kind of assumed it was from like Fresno, Mexico, or someplace more exotic, frankly, than Fresno, California.
So it turns out, Ryan, the Fresno chili, as I understand it, is actually from Clovis?
Yeah, that's right. So the Fresno chili is named after the county of Fresno, not the city. It was a seed grower, I guess a seed merchant, who first hybridized the Fresno and named it after the county. And he was based in Clovis. Browning Hamlin was his name. And this was in the 50s.
So how does the Fresno fit into the overall history of the chili pepper?
One of the more unique things about it is that it's a newish pepper in the long, you know, 5,000 plus year history of humans developing their own unique chili peppers. But then in the last couple of decades, as I write about in my story for Eater, there's been this real explosion in unique peppers that really mostly is concentrated around growing the hottest pepper that you possibly can. And the Fresno is specifically not very hot. It's a pretty friendly pepper. So I also sort of hypothesized that part of the thing that the Fresno, that has caused the Fresno to be, you know, not lost, but doesn't have the recognition that I think it deserves, is because it's not exceptionally hot, whereas a lot of the newer peppers coming out are ridiculously hot, are not for normal person consumption, I would say.
So where did you eventually get your breakthrough on the little pepper that could?
I wanted to visit a field of growing Fresno chili peppers and talk to some Fresno chili pepper growers. So I'd say my breakthrough in understanding the pepper and seeing it and talking to people who worked with it was twofold. I found a pepper grower who works sort of in Ventura County. And then I sort of spur of the moment just drove up to Fresno and then had this really wonderful day in and around Fresno meeting with various chefs and growers and people who are in the ag industry. And there aren't that many actually in the ag industry around Fresno who deal with Fresno chilies, but the few I met who knew about Fresno chilies were really enamored of them. And so it was great. Their enthusiasm was great. And I felt like I learned a lot from that day in the Central Valley.
Now, you did in your travels talk to a number of people who do use this pepper. For them, it's all about flavor. Tell me a little more about the people you met and what you found.
Yeah, so the first dish that sort of put it on my radar was from a restaurant here in LA called BS Taqueria. And the chef there, Ray Garcia, immediately just, I talked to him about it. And he's like, you know, it's a very kind of friendly gateway pepper, and it's a crowd pleaser. He puts it in this amazing rice and beans dish. Then when I drove up to Fresno, the first person I met was Vincent Ricucci. His family runs PR Farms, which is a big farming concern. They grow all sorts of stuff. They grow a lot of almonds and grapes and apples and olives. And Vincent runs Enzo, which is an olive oil company. A couple years ago, he started making a crushed chili oil with Fresno chilies. I bought a bottle of this, and I got to say, I use it all the time and now. And he started doing it because he wanted to do a chili oil. And then Fresno's were kind of on his radar, but not totally. But in the same way, he was like, oh, this is cool. This is a cool, it's named after where I'm from. And then the more he looked into it, and I think after trying some, he really realized it was just a great, very approachable pepper to go in this oil. And then the guy who helped him get set up, because his family, you know, he's not a vegetable grower. They do mostly stone fruit. So the guy who set Vincent up with his peppers, Kong Tao, who is just an amazing, amazing grower. He and Tao Family Farms is his family farm. So he and his parents and some of his siblings, they grow some of the best produce in America. I mean, their produce is super sought after by all sorts of chefs in LA and San Francisco and New York. Even some of his stuff gets flown out to New York. So Kong helped Vincent get set up with his peppers. I went over, saw his farm, which was an amazing place to see because he grows such a preposterous variety of stuff. All sorts of peppers, including he had a little patch of Fresno peppers. And both Vincent and Kong's peppers were just coming in. I mean, it was early in the pepper season when I went up there, so they don't really look like much until later in the summer, fall. But then Kong mentioned another local guy, Jimmy Pardini, who runs the Annex Kitchen, which is right next to his family's dining hall, banquet hall, that's been there for a very long time. Anyway, the Annex uses a bunch of Kong's produce and sometimes their Fresno chilies, and they also use Vincent's chili oil. So talk to Jimmy for a little while. And oh, a great story that sort of sent me full circle back to fancy restaurants in LA. So the reason that Jimmy Pardini knew about Fresno chilies was when he was working in the kitchen of Osteria Mazza, which is a fancy Italian restaurant run by Nancy Silverton, who's a great LA chef. That's when he first encountered Fresno chilies in a linguine with clams dish. And he had this great description of first encountering this Fresno chili. He's a guy from Fresno, and he said, was this like Fresno, the place where I'm from? Or he kind of, similar to me, assumed it was a Fresno in Mexico or somewhere further afield. And then, you know, to talking to other chefs back in LA and elsewhere, everyone who had encountered the pepper used it, you know, often and in several dishes, just again, because it delivers a really interesting flavor without too much spice and just livens up a lot of otherwise sort of traditional dishes. So yeah, I on this whole kind of quest to understand the pepper, I really ended up falling in love with it even more. I mean, I think it's one of the more unheralded American foods. And the other thing that Jimmy brought up and others also brought up that I thought was really interesting is that peppers, you know, peppers are from the Americas, from Mexico, but then, you know, they spread all over the world, kind of post Columbus and then through trade, and have come back to America through all these different immigrant communities in astounding different ways, and are very much a part of, obviously very much a part of Mexican cooking, but also very much a part of different Asian cuisines, Italian cuisines. But there are specific varieties of pepper, you know, that have been part of that cuisine for centuries. And because the Fresno is from the 50s, it hasn't been around that long, it hasn't been really adopted by these long traditions of regional cooking in the way that other peppers have. So I hope that my article at least makes a case for the Fresno chili being able to work its way into more people's cooking as kind of a great American pepper.
Is it possible, though, that the Fresno chili is already having its cultural moment, or at least at the early stages of that? You write that the grower of the sriracha, the peppers that make up sriracha sauce, just planted more Fresno chilies than ever this year. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So the one of the guys, the first pepper grower I spoke to, is, you know, he no longer grows the jalapenos for sriracha. He had a falling out with the sriracha guy, but he's a very serious pepper grower. And his farm manager noticed that at the terminal market down in LA, the big produce market here, he was noticing more and more Fresnos and that they were going for higher and higher prices. They're a bit more in demand. That's a good indicator. I mean, that's an different than my local supermarket or farmer's market indicator, that the terminal market is a pretty specifically kind of wholesale market. But it does lead me to think that they are having a moment. I mean, at least there's more demand for them. So growers who are savvy about this stuff are going to be growing more of them too. So,
and hopefully all the people that read your column as well, your article in Eater.
Yeah, I hope so. What's also great about them is you can incorporate them into any recipe that calls for a jalapeno. You can just swap in a Fresno and it's going to taste a little bit different. And I think a little bit more complex. I don't want to necessarily say better, but I think it's worth experimenting with them. They're really fun. And you can, I mean, all peppers are so kind of wonderfully usable in all sorts of dishes. You know, you can cook with them, you can grill with them, obviously you can bake with them, you can dry them out and crush them on stuff, you can make jellies out of them, and obviously you can make oils out of them. They're a great piece of summertime produce, and it's cool to see that there's a hint of, and I hope more of, around Fresno pride for this pepper, because, you know, Fresno's in the middle of the produce capital of the country, if not the world, and here's this pepper named after it. So yeah, I love, actually, a guy who I spoke to for the piece too, who didn't make it in the story, used to live in Fresno, and he, his first tattoo, he has a tattoo of a Fresno chili. I was told I should talk to him because he's possibly the only guy on earth that has a tattoo of a Fresno chili. And he, similar to me, I mean, I don't have a tattoo of the Fresno chili, but he similarly was just like, well, I mean, as soon as I found out about this pepper, I was living in Fresno and I just loved this pepper, and it seemed to represent the town and the place, and it's this really nice looking pepper. So he got a tattoo of it, and, you know, now he lives in New Orleans, but whenever people see it, they always think it's a jalapeno, which is a common error with Fresnos. He always corrects them.
We've been talking with journalist Ryan Bradley. His new article, The Little Pepper That Could, extols the virtues of the Fresno chili, a California native that was hybridized right here in Fresno County and is apparently starting to get some larger attention from beyond just this immediate area. You can find it online at eater.com. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.